Call the meeting to order, City of University Heights special city council meeting. Tonight is May 28th, 2024. Thanks everyone for attending tonight. All five council are present. First order of business is to call the public hearing to consider amending the fiscal year 2024 budget. I call the public hearing to order. And does anyone from the public want to speak tonight about the amended budget? No. Mike, did you receive any correspondence?
I did not.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, I'll close the public hearing. And now we'll go to Finance Committee. And Nick, you want Steve to start this? Okay, thank you, Steve. Consideration of Resolution 2428, amending the fiscal year 2024 budget.
Okay. The resolution is to approve the amended budget, which is was published on May 18th. We had full discussion at the last meeting 2 weeks ago about everything. Of course, I had just three changes to make. Those have been incorporated into it. It was the legal fee reimbursement for $18,000 and something from the hotel. We added the balance of the 2018 Squisher Park bond money to the budget, and then we moved the sale of the one police car from one category to the other. So that's that was all incorporated into the publication. Total current budget proposed after the amendment is a deficit of $955,000. However, we went over that the last time too. That let's see, I got that again here. I'm going to try to work the 95% TIF developer payment from last summer didn't happen until July. We're going to try to get back on track by the end of June. So that makes up $611,000. And capital projects of about $458,000 are included in here, and they are funded by that bond money that we're still sitting on. So it's not a true financial loss or anything. It's just timing issues. So I don't know if anybody had any other specific questions about anything. I didn't really have anything to add to it. This is just an estimation of where we're going to end up by June 30th.
Any comments or questions for Steve? No big surprises. So you have to have this filed by the 31st. Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, that's okay. What we're meeting for tomorrow. This publication thing, the one that needs to go to the county auditor, will have a space where you and Mike need to sign that. You'll need to take that along with the affidavit publication. So,
okay. So consideration of Resolution 2428 is before the council. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Nick, second?
I'll second.
Second by Lisa. Discussion? Roll call vote.
Gunn?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Shorter?
Aye.
Swales?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you. Now we have consideration of Resolution 2429, appointing Pronologi and Olson to conduct the annual city budget reviews for 5 years covering FY24, FY28. And Nick gave a very complete report in his finance report. First of all, do we have a motion for this? We'll put it on the table.
So moved.
Motion by Nick. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Doug. Okay, now any discussion?
I just point out that the cost difference is pretty large, I guess, relatively speaking. And we've had really good luck with Kronlagi and Olson. I think historically, nothing against O'Connor and Brooks. It's just that the price is lower, and we know Kronlagi and Olson can do a great job. So my recommendation would be to pass the resolution as written.
Any other comments? Okay. Roll call vote.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Gahn.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, next order of business is, as I said last May 14th, that we put the resolution 2426 and 27 talking about the local option sales tax to consider those resolutions. Nick had filed a report with pros and cons, and I wanted to say that I contacted Lisa Perez from Stella about Lost, and she said both her and Kevin are fine with it. And then Greg Stiltner, he called me and said he heard the city was having a discussion about Lost, and he said if it's good for the city, they are for it. And then I talked to some residents too about it, and I didn't hear any negative response. A lot of people really liked the 50% property tax relief. And I saw people at the bike breakfast, and I saw people in my neighborhood and things like that. And so that's what I found out.
Yeah, I mean, as I tried to just give kind of both sides of it in my report also, to the extent that's useful. I have heard, obviously, opposition from the business owners, or at least questions from the business owners. I've also heard just generally kind of some pushback about raising taxes in general. Some people don't think we really should be raising taxes if we're in good financial shape at all. But I know, at the last meeting, we did talk about more revenue coming from this and sales tax paid. But there's also, and losing the traffic camera, revenue, and then also having the levies, the levy numbers ratcheted down has made it tough, but it is putting the burden on the business owners. So I don't know if Jerry wants to talk on it tonight or not. I don't want to put you on the spot, Jerry, if you've said your piece, but I mean, that's who I really would like to hear from if you are interested in saying anything.
Well, I'm glad you talked to those two business owners. You didn't talk to me, and that doesn't please me very much.
The sun's right there. Oh, there you go.
But as a small business owner, we try and keep our prices down, particularly in the restaurant business, which everybody is complaining about now, how the prices are going. 1% may not seem to be a lot to ask a person to pay. When we talk about keeping prices down, we talk about 3%, 4%, 5%. So 1% adds considerably to that. And it's the process that is sort of offensive, that the city council needs money. They look around, where can we get it? And it doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing, they're going to take it. No matter what, this vote is predetermined, I'm sure. I can stand up here and ask the council all the questions I want and never get a real answer, because that's not the way it operates, and I know that from experience. If the businesses are going to be used in a way that's good for the city, it may be that we should be getting something back for that. If our 1% brings 10 times that much in on the loss program, why not do something for us that is compensation for adding another percent to our costs? And that's what I would ask. I mean, there are lots of expenses we have. The OUP fees are going up. There are lots of expenses and we want to stay in business. We want to stay in business here. We love the community, and the process just is alien to me, to say, well, we need money. Where can we get it? But we're not. I haven't heard any recommendation
of saying we're going to get so much more. What can we do back for the businesses? And that's not to say we don't appreciate the grants you did that allowed us to buy that wonderful trailer that we have. But there's something unsettling about being the target of, hey, we need some money, you're it. And if there's discussion here, I think it should be about what kind of actions can we take that's not sheer exploitation, that provides something in return. And that's what I'd like to hear.
Thank you, Jerry. Pat, would you like to say anything?
Pat Yankee, Commuter 5 Ridgeview. I support the resolution calling for a special election in September when residents can decide whether or not to impose a 1% local option sales tax. That 50% of the proceeds must be used for property tax relief will benefit us all. A good way to use this kind of money might be to pay for an expense like the employee benefits and payroll taxes. We pay it anyway out of the general fund now, but using these dollars this way lowers the property tax rate levies for everyone. Iowa has 940 cities. 923 of them have a local option sales tax. Only 17 do not. Iowans are already very used to this tax. I don't think more people will come here because we don't have the tax and the rest won't care. This revenue could mean a lot for University Heights. Tiffin joined January 1 last year or this year in perpetuity with no sunset. I don't think you should let this pass us by. You should act immediately, especially not without asking your voters. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Would council like to begin some discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to follow up on what Jerry said. I think Doug was the one that brought it up last meeting about the idea of something to try to offset the obligation. I mean, there's a clear obligation. It's clearly put on just the shoulders of these certain business owners. And so I think I don't necessarily have the answer, but I would like to have the discussion, I think, on what we could do. And maybe, I don't know, Steve, are there any guardrails or anything that is not permissible? I mean, it seems like that 50%, you pretty much could do what you want with. And then in terms of the tax, the property tax relief, I assume that would just be across the board based on, you know, equally. It's not going to be targeting anybody specifically. So
that's right.
Yeah.
And so that includes commercial owners, everybody who owns property. So businesses do get some benefit with this tax. Property tax relief.
Yeah. What kind of percentage is, would you have any sense of what percent that is per, I mean, if you're spreading that, you estimate, I think, was it a couple $100,000 per year from this?
Potentially for the local option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You spread $100,000 on all the property in the community. I don't know how significant that
is.
Yeah.
At the last meeting, the example was based on what's currently going in the pot and then what our percent is. 12.75% or something, that came out to about like 238,000, we'll just say 240,000. So half of it, 120, has to be used for property tax relief reduction. And the other 120 can go to any and all for purpose. So
what percent, I should maybe know this, but what percent of our budget is that where we can have any sense of like how that impacts the typical person in the community?
Well, you'd be spread for the property tax.
Yeah,
really.
The 120 without property.
Right now, total property taxes for 20, let's see, a little less than 1.1 million. So we're basically, I mean, using that generally speaking, we'll be reducing the levy from 1.1 million down to 1 million. That $100,000 or $120,000 just gets spread upon everybody's property through the tax, you know, taxable valuation and everything. At this point, I haven't had any chance to put any, you know, possibilities together yet. But you know, if we have, you know, further down the road for the discussions, you know, I can come up with something on paper that, you know, everybody might be able to
9%.
How much is my property tax benefit and whatnot? So,
yeah, that be 9% then? About approximately.
So Maureen, bar three owner, also emailed council a few hours ago. It looks like she brings up property tax relief, common area maintenance subsidies, and grants and subsidies. I don't remember that you said something at the meeting this time too, and I don't recall. I think you started an idea on how to help the businesses, but I don't remember.
It's some kind of like a tax credit, or even when you go to disperse back the amount to, do we keep it the same, or can we give commercial folks 13% and everybody else 7%? Is there any number that has to be followed?
I don't think the council could levy different assessment rates based on commercial, but the council would have plenty of discretion to do, you know, really about what it wants with respect to that other 50%, or you know, if you don't take it from this part of the budget, maybe you could take it from another part of the budget. The hotel motel tax generates funds that can be used for economic development, and that's a pretty broad definition. Certainly, promoting businesses to promote economic development.
Could we put that money in a pot as far as?
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is, I think there's plenty of opportunity within the city budget, both with this tax, any lawful purpose, and then other parts of the city budget. If the city said, "Well, gee, we have some increased revenue, and we think that it was disproportionately fell upon a particular community, business owners," there's a way for the city to come up with something to try to compensate for that.
So we could be pretty creative, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
So we just need to know where we can't, and then we can work from that.
Yeah, have an idea what you want to do and how much. Yeah.
What is the shortfall we're trying to make up? Because I thought the cameras weren't for revenue, that was for safety. So now we're depending on that income that was from the cameras somehow? Or was it because we weren't allowed to increase taxes because of what the state did?
I think my sense is it's both of those, plus the, I know law enforcement budget has gotten more difficult with the more expensive lease, and then the health insurance in general. I mean, that's kind of the stuff that you and I think have talked about. Does that sound right?
Right. I don't think our expenses are ever going to go down. I think it's just going to be a slow climb. And again, having been a small business owner myself for many years, I can tell you your inputs are always going to go up. You just never hear inputs ever going down. We do have a police department that, you know, we got to keep up competitively with wages, you know, so we got to keep looking, not just for today, we got to look past the end of our nose down the road. What are we going to do a year from now? I mean, we just can't keep, you know, wanting 1%. I mean, everything is going up, unfortunately. And like a business owner, I got to pass my input cost increases on to the consumer. I mean, I wouldn't say I won't go to Maggie's or Big Grove and say, well, I'd go there, except for, God, that's a dollar higher over there in taxes. Well, that's not going to stop you. I mean, as a business owner, you just pad it into your cost. And if you really want the service, you're going to go. No matter what the cost is. It's unfortunate and it sucks, but name one business in the last 4 years that stuff has just not gone up. I mean, look at insurance has gone ridiculous. I mean, everything has gone up. I mean, just everything. Food is just astronomical. You know, we complain and kick the cat and stuff like that, but we pay it. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, make excuses or anything, but it's just reality. I mean, it's just going to keep going up. So we got to look past this year, what are we going to do next year, and the next year, and the next year, when police wanted 2% or 3%, you know, the year after that, after that, because it's just going up higher and higher nonstop. So
the TIF money will come to an end sometime soon here.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Yes.
So, I just don't see how the math works. I mean, if 120,000 goes to lowering everybody's property taxes, so we net an additional 120,000, and then somehow we're trying to pay back the businesses with some of that, and maybe that's the right thing to do, but that's not going to help our budget much. So I don't see the math.
Yeah. Well, the math has benefited a little bit just by the amount we pay in is anticipated to be a lot less than what we get out of the pot. And I think that's definitely because of the, yeah, I guess that, do you know the multiplier of that?
Not off the top of my head.
Because you're going more based on what's in the pot right now, what our percentage would be. It's just not tied to sales tax amounts. It's not tied to sales tax and income. It's tied to population and real property values.
The loss.
Yeah, what you get out of the pot. Yeah.
Yeah. 3/4 of the weighting is current official census, and then the other remaining 1/4 is the average property, what the average levy was in 1983, 84, and 85, because loss began in 85, and that part has never been updated. Back in 1985, our levy rate was only like $4.54 per thousand. Everybody else was at 10 and so forth. Now, when we look at the rates, everybody's all in the range of 11 to 14%. So the formula itself already works against us to a small degree.
And the other thing I want to add too is, you know, I understand the plight of the businesses, believe me, I really do, but we got to also remember, if we do turn this over to the voters, we got to let them know that this University Heights is a business too. You know, what we're doing here tonight is we're doing city business. So we got to remember we're running a business here too. We can't go bankrupt, and, you know, you got a slow leak. Well, we got to stop the leak, or, you know, make it even. But, you know, to keep this city afloat, we have to, you know, do what we can to keep it even. So, I mean, I understand the plight of the businesses because, you know, they can't go broke either. Well, we can't go broke either as a city. So, is what it is. I mean,
Jerry, can I ask, is there something that sounds, I mean, I would love it if we could have some consensus on this, and this is just to have the voters vote on it, right? This isn't deciding that it's going to be implemented, but it is a $3,000 expense, you know, for the vote to occur approximately. And so, I mean, do you have a sense of what, understanding this burden would be put on the business owners, do you have a sense of what would be fair, in your opinion?
You know, I think that's the issue, it's the fairness issue. Nobody's going to stop coming to Maggie's because of the 1%. I agree with that. But there's a fairness element in this, that the council looks around, needs money for the businesses. And it's built into the system, I understand that. But if we're going to be the tool to get this additional money, rather than be exploited, it could be a cooperative effort that makes everybody feel better. It doesn't have to be a big one, but it could be a nice way of saying, thank you, businesses. Mm-hmm. And I'm for it too. I mean, if it reduces property taxes, that's great. It's not going to reduce anybody's significantly. But it'd be a nice way to operate rather than the council in a vacuum and the community out there, and everybody gets their needs met a little and some more than
that. That makes sense. We've got a little timeline issue where we've got to get this going if it's going to be on the ballot for the special election. I mean, would you feel better if there was, and I'm not saying there is, but if there was a consensus among council that we are going to try to do something to recognize what you're talking about?
I am for this commission. I think it's good for the community.
But from just a personal and business point of view, it seems if you can use this as a tool to get something, give us a little something back. We could, all the businesses could use it, I'm sure.
We all could. I mean, it is a sales tax. It is anybody that comes to your business that's paying, anybody that comes into University Heights is paying that tax. And I understand someone brought up credit card fees, but is that a cost of doing business, Jerry? Is that what you're looking to recoup? Or, I mean, because I don't see it as trying to get it out of you. I see it as people that...
Every time we amend our minimums going up, it's a burden. Some burden. And I'm not complaining about it. It's as much an image of how we live. When I came in last meeting and I heard, it's really the first time I took this seriously, and it was, hey, we need money. How can we get it? We need it for a good reason. Who can we get it from? That's offensive, right? Without ever talking to the businesses about how everything's going, we need this. It's just...
You thought it was rushed.
What?
You felt like it was rushed.
Yeah, it's not the way a community needs to be treated, particularly a very small business community that is very committed to the community. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's as much a personal affront as it is anything. But every time we look at our menu and increase prices, we take that so seriously because we want to stay available to everybody. And as everybody says, everything is going up in the food industry, particularly dramatically.
But this was rushed because there's a deadline. The point wasn't to vote on it under the table or quickly or whatever last time. It was just, let's bring this forward for discussion. But there is a deadline. I think that's something to be said.
If you go along and have the vote, it's going to win, and that's fine. That's good for the community. If just the council thinks about it, you have incredible powers over businesses that are not giant affairs, right? They're, some of us are making it happily, but it should be a cooperative effort. Government should be cooperative with businesses. And I can't say it has been great with that grant situation. And we've all benefited.
I guess I'm curious to know, just with my vote, I'm curious to know if the rest of the council is receptive to what Jerry is saying, the idea that it doesn't have to be, I mean, like Tim's saying, we can't give 100% of it to the businesses, but I think, like Jerry's saying, some recognition I think would be appropriate, especially because it is, I mean, when you do look at University Heights compared to, I think I was saying this on Zoom while I was at the last meeting, you know, when you're downtown, there's a lot of other things that draw you down there. You've got a great playground, at least my kids, even the older ones, go, you know, do stuff there. There's a lot of stuff that's open and going on and activity. So, you know, it is harder, I think, to be in town. And I appreciate being able to walk to businesses, you know, and have them in town. And obviously we, having them here allows us to do something like this, I assume. So I'm curious if council thinks that something like that would be possible, or their intention, I guess, if we pass this, have the voters decide. If the voters would support it, I'm curious if council thinks that some recognition to the business owners who have not obviously law firms and financial advisors, but the ones who actually carry the burden, if you guys think this is appropriate.
And hearing Jerry, I don't think he's asking for 100% rebate or anything like that.
No, right.
He's asking for recognition, or maybe we could do some kind of a small tax rebate or a tax holiday or something for a weekend or a day or game or something. I don't know if that would even be impossible with a tax holiday, like the dual school supplies. And I'm just throwing stuff out right now to see if it stick. But I think showing that, you know, they have skin in the game. I'd like to see our council show that we have skin in the game too. But like I say, we got to come up with money from somewhere to balance our budget at the end of the day. And if not this, what else? I mean, where else do we turn? Like, we're deficit spending, we're going in the red. What's plan B? If plan A doesn't work, what's plan B?
Yeah, have we looked at the budgets 5 years down the road when the TIF wraps up? I don't know when it wraps up, but isn't it coming up fairly soon? 5-6 years? I mean, well, can we project it all like out?
That. I mean, part of it too is we are not bonding for things that a town could bond for, right? We're deciding to pay for things, throw money into Melrose Streetscape, you know, rather than bond for it, which would impact property taxes. It wouldn't go to the business owners paying sales tax. It would be, or withholding sales tax, it would be property owners. So
property owners that would like to have money to go to Maggie's and Sidekick. And
so, I mean, I feel like I should be able to answer your question in a sense better, but it's hard because it's kind of based on hypotheticals, right? Yeah. What projects we decide to do, whether we decide to pay for them out of the general funds or whether we decide to bond for them. And Steve, if I'm saying anything that doesn't make sense, let me know. I mean, that's my sense of it, is it could go down the road, the budgets could go a lot of different ways. I mean, we have some deferred maintenance, it seems, in some of these street projects that it's been building for a long time. We're trying to use a lot of money to pay for them and not bond for them. And so I think the financial future seems to be bright, especially with the TIF ending, presumably the hotel motel tax being strong, going into the future, the property base, tax base continuing to grow. We don't know what the legislature is going to do. You know, we have a sense of how the ratcheting down works under the current law, but they could be, you know, even more extreme next year.
Well, yeah, it just doesn't seem like much of a budget fix. You know, it's, yeah, we're going to give a good chunk back. And I support giving it back to businesses. And that's why it's not a budget fix, but it does help everybody on their property taxes. So if it's, that's a win-win. If we can help the businesses that are bearing the brunt of it and help everybody with their property taxes, then
I don't see that we have a limit to decide that part of it tonight, but I can see how you would like to get some consensus on that. But we do have a limited time on the lost.
Yeah.
And so we either have this meeting and the 11th to decide that. And council can discuss that, even if, I mean, Jerry seemed to think it would automatically pass. I don't know, but...
Well, no,
it should pass.
Yeah, no, I think for me, it's, I agree we don't have to have the details worked out, but I just want to feel good about any vote, you know, and partially for the reasons Jerry brought up. You know, I don't want this, I've been on the other side of it where I've seen, you know, whatever decision-making body it is, if they're just making a decision and it seems like, okay, this is just controlling, you know, something that impacts me, you know, I think it's helpful if there's a sense that it was thought through in an appropriate way. And so, yeah, it seems like, and I'm generally too, like, I think one of the beauties of the small town is you almost have a direct, you know, as much of a direct democracy as you can with such a small population to be accountable to. And so putting something to the voters is even more direct. So I'm all for that. The downside is the $3,000, you know, price tag or whatever to have the vote. So I appreciate the feedback, because that's kind of what I was thinking, what I was wondering in terms of feeling good about this vote, wanted to know that this was something that there's acknowledgement from, you know, from council about what Jerry's talking about. And you have to make the final decision. The voters would decide ultimately if we even have the tax. So Yeah, that's kind of what I was, the way I was thinking through it.
I have to go, but I think it's a great opportunity. And if the outcome is some cooperative engagement between the businesses and council, it would be an ideal situation for us. That's all.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Can I make a motion?
Yeah, you can.
I'd like to motion that we do put this on the ballot for the local option sales tax for loss.
We have this resolution.
So resolution 24-26.
26.
Yes.
So 26.
Setting the date.
No.
Setting the date.
We got to end it.
Yeah, I guess set the date. Six.
It's setting the date for a local option sales and service tax special election in the city of University Heights, Iowa for September 10th, 2024.
Yes.
You so move.
So move.
Okay. Motion by Steph. Is there a second?
No, second.
Second by Doug. Further discussion? Okay. Roll call vote.
Moore.
Aye.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Herbold?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, then we have consideration of resolution number 2427, calling a special election on September 10, 2024 on the proposal to impose a local option sales and service tax in the city of University Heights, Iowa. Is there a motion?
A motion.
Motion by Stephanie. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Lisa. Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote.
Schroeder.
Aye.
Swales.
Aye.
Gone.
Aye.
Herbold.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, thank you. September 10th is the second Tuesday of the month. And when I was looking at this, I thought that's our meeting date. So we'll have to get another venue for the meeting because the vote will be held here. And Pat, you're probably going to be the working for the county.
We'll use your house.
But
you're not going to be there.
We have, well, we, you know, with the hotel, we can meet in one of their conference rooms as part of the. Anyway, I just thought I'd say. Okay, so legal report. Steve, did you have anything? I think you're good. Okay, and then payment of bills, and John sent around the warrants. Are there any questions about it? Did you have any additions?
Nothing urgent.
I know you were looking at your mailbox.
No, I just informed my eye. I saw something in my inbox. Okay. I'm like,
thank you. Are there any objections to paying the bills? Hearing none, the bills will be paid by unanimous consent. Is there any announcements? You know, Thursday is the Zoom and meeting for the zoning commission. You know, you probably got a handout at 7 o'clock. And so I'm going to attend by Zoom. I won't be in town, but I hope everyone can attend or attend by Zoom. Is there any objection to adjournment? Hearing none, the meeting's adjourned by unanimous consent. Thanks, everyone.